everyone, and welcome back to Between Realities. My name is Alex VR. I'm joined here with my co-host, Skiva.
How's it going?
Skiva, how the hell are you, sir?
Oh, man. I'm good. I'm starting to be able to breathe again. We've been plagued with some technical difficulties. You know, nothing new for this show, but we worked through it.
Yeah.
So, we're
out here faking it till we make it. This is episode 4 of our second season. This is a surprise episode that you did not see coming. It is pre-recorded, so we are chilling in the chat, not worrying about responding to you in real time. Instead, we will have the conversation there. One of the reasons why we are recording is because our guest today is joining us from the other side of the planet, and it is difficult to find times that work when you are sleeping at the same time as the other people are awake, and it's winter over there while it's summer over here, and the whole world's upside down. So we've jumped through a lot of hoops to make this happen, and we are so excited to be able to introduce to you guys our guest for this amazing episode of Between Realities, Mr. Toge VR. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm doing very well. Finally.
It is a pleasure and an honor to have you here with us. You have the patience of a saint, as do many of our VR community members. You're not the first person to get the wrath of the technical difficulties of the Between Reality spaceship.
Fair enough.
And everybody's been pretty cool about it. So thank you for being here, man.
And if everyone could take a second to hit that subscribe button, it would mean the world to us, because we need some more subscribers.
This is a smart guy. We actually always forget to mention that.
Yes.
So hit the subscribe button. Thanks for joining us on this amazing bonus episode. And Toge, welcome, man.
Hi.
You are a legend in the VR content creation community, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. Kind words.
Yes. It's cool, man. It's been like our reuniting for the first time since meeting in person at OC6.
Yeah.
It was so cool, dude. This guy was like my savior, man. I was getting ready to try Pistol Whip for the first time. Everybody's like crowding in the hallways to play Pistol Whip at OC6. It was like the talk of the whole convention.
Yeah, before it was released.
Yep. Yeah. So everyone's so excited. Yeah. People take the headset off and they're just like beaming and glowing. And I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get in here. And I like went to go set up my camera and I couldn't do it. And Toge's there and he's like, bro.
Gotcha.
Give me that. Takes my phone, boom, films it for me.
Nice.
Like, had my back.
Nice.
I think you might even film something on the balcony like the next night or something while I was out there dicking around. I'm pretty sure I saw you out there. We bumped to each other a couple times, but it's great to be able to catch up again, man. I hope things have been good, all things considered, since then.
Yeah.
You've made some really, really amazing stuff, man. I've watched some of your videos. I've watched a lot of your videos. Yeah. Let me rephrase that. my whole family has, and we were just blown away at the quality of the stuff you're able to produce in mixed reality. So Toge VR is a mixed reality guru, and if anyone hasn't seen this stuff, down on one of the monitors on a desk here is every possible way you can get to this guy and check out his amazing content. I really, really suggest you do, because it is freaking killer. How did you get into this, man? How did you decide we're gonna like take cinematics into VR, because like, wow, it's killer.
Well, it was a natural extension for me. I've always been interested in filmmaking, whether that's or theater, music, long history of that sort of thing. I found myself streaming, obviously not long after Beat Saber was released. It was more of a fitness and a social thing at that point. And then I discovered mixed reality, and then just all these ideas, you know, this of what we could do with this incredible technology from Liv, and it just grew from there. So
it's wild, and you're actually in a Liv environment as we
That's
speak.
Right, yeah.
Like if you
That's
look behind
so
you there,
sweet,
it's so rad. So we're spinning around here, and what are we in?
This is the menu area of Synth Riders or Spin City is the stage. Yeah,
nice, cool. Mm. Yeah, looks absolutely amazing.
Do we have a clip of that Synthrizer's, his last Synthrizer's video?
We do.
I feel like we got to show some of this stuff. So
as we're talking here, I'm going to put that up on the screen, because, dude, that summer video you made, amazing.
It's
funny that it's an old one because, like, I mean, to this day, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you know, this is one of the coolest videos I've ever seen, period. I mean, not even counting like VR and MR. This is just amazing. You took us back in time to like the 80s and you just completely friggin' rocked it. So I want to congratulate you on that.
Thanks.
And tell people, yeah, check this video out for sure. What's, man, can you tell us some of the things that maybe you encountered when making this video?
Summer, wow.
Some of the maybe issues or?
Yeah, that's, see, I look back on that video now and I'm just like, oh, there's so many technical problems with that video. So many things I'd love to do differently, but shooting that was absolutely incredible because we went away to Noosa in Queensland, if anyone knows where Noosa is. Out onto the beach before sunrise, I'm putting the Quest on. You know, we've got like camera set up and everything. By the way, my camera operator is my wife, Sogei. She's incredible.
Cool.
So it's just
wow. One of the things one of the things we were curious about is like how, like, do you have like a squad of people to pull this off? Like, how many people does it take to you know, do you have to pull together to make some of these productions?
It depends. Most of my YouTube content is just me and my wife, and that's it. For obviously collaborations, I've done with like Hey Falcon, Karitza, those guys, those were done. I'm behind the camera in that case. But yeah.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, I saw you've had a couple of different people like come to your place and like make videos. Like Maisie, I think that's how you pronounce her name, right? Maisie. Yeah. She was there and she did a trailer for
Shooty Skies.
What was that? Shooty Skies. Yeah, it looks awesome, dude. Yeah. Like that was done at your place, and I mean,
oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, he's crushing it right now. Like you're cranking stuff out, not just for your channel, right?
That's right. So these days, if anyone does follow my YouTube channel, I've probably noticed that things have been a little bit quiet on there, and that's because most of my time at the moment has been making trailers and other media for games. So, which has been nice, but you know, I do really want to spend more time.
Right.
So what an interesting problem, right? You get really good at something, and you start putting out a product, and all these game companies are probably like, "Hey, this guy,
right?
Yeah,
this is the guy we need."
So is it like a side project thing now, or is this like, are these opportunities showing up to the point where like this maybe, do you see this being like your career, you know, like being able to continue to create content like this?
Well, I'd love to make it my career, I'm not gonna lie, but it's it's a big leap to make that viable.
Because I mean, it's a niche market. You know, a lot of people have the ability to do it themselves too, you know, don't necessarily like if they have a studio, what do you think of that Tarzan trailer that just came out?
Oh my God.
That mixed reality Tarzan trailer. Did you see
it? So good. Splitverse guys. Yeah. they are next level. Like hanging guys off a rig to shoot that stuff. Like, holy crap.
You know, that's the difference maker though, like, because I've watched Buck3131 on YouTube play Windlands 2 in mixed reality, and his whole body is visible and his feet are just like stationary on the floor, and he's like swinging and it's just like the static. It looks hilarious, you know, like without like the dangling feet, the effect of swinging is lost. So like they really did like have to do that in order to like capture the feeling, because if he's just like standing there like swinging like that, it would not even look remotely as good.
I completely agree. It's it's phenomenal just watching this mixed reality footage. I mean, you almost feel like this person is really a character in this game, and that's exactly how Togai makes it look in your videos.
Yeah,
that's how it feels to be in VR.
Yeah,
which is why mixed reality is so important. Like it like really does help illustrate what it feels like to be in the experience, even though nothing, in my opinion, can really explain it.
Yeah, unless you actually go in and experience it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is true.
What do you think, like, I don't know, what do you see the next iterations of, like, capturing stuff in VR looking like? You know, because, like, right now we're standing in front of green screens and projecting our images. Like, are we just going to, like, refine that? Or, like, you know, in your experience, do you see something else starting to kind of develop? Mm. What do you think?
I think there's kind of two channels that this can go down. There is like the professional level, which I can't see things like green screens being replaced for a long time. But this is a fairly high entry point, right? Like, it takes a big commitment to have a green screen in your own home. So I think as the technology for, you know, a fake green screen improves, you know, things like what Apple is doing with ARKit, and they've got like LiDAR in their iPad now. I can see that as being a really useful way to get a pretty good quality green screen replacement.
What about stuff like the Quest? You know, like, because I mean, Live has a no green screen version. That I guess works somewhat decently. Like, I've seen some content. It's no Togai VR production, you know, but it kind of helps people be able to make something. You know, like, how can we solve that problem, you know, with like standalone stuff? Like, have you made any mixed reality stuff with the Quest or tried to?
Well, actually, what you see right now is running on the Quest, so.
But as a Link though, right?
No, it's actually virtual desktop through
Steam VR. Virtual desktop.
Yeah. So,
I see.
Coming back to the trailers, obviously, with all of, because for the Oculus Store, they need to be on Oculus hardware, so that creates some huge headaches, I'll say. Having to do mixed reality with a moving camera with the Oculus Quest. Is a huge, huge challenge. There's so many little hacks and tools and everything to go together to make that all work, and it kind of works.
So, are you on the camera like that we see you on? Is this the camera that you also shoot your mixed reality footage on?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you share with us the camera that you do?
Yeah, use? Absolutely. So this is a Panasonic GH5. I'm using a 8 to 18 millimeter f/2.8 lens. So normally for mixed reality, I have that all the way at 8 millimeters, which is like a 16 mil full frame equivalent because it's a 2x crop GH5. So so pretty wide, which is good for getting really wide shots, but it's not ideal for... like, it's not equivalent to the human eye, I guess, so.
I feel you. We're currently on a GH4, and when I do mixed reality footage, I do it on a GH4, and I feel you entirely. I've actually even considered turning the camera vertically and to, like, do mixed reality footage for Beat Saber because I, like, maybe think that the extension of my arms isn't quite enough and I could maybe get my whole body in because where it stands, I'd have to, like, really what I need is a new lens.
Yeah.
I need that like 8 millimeter lens. If I get that, I can put the camera anywhere, but I don't have a lens right now. So with the GH4, I have to like make it work. And it definitely gets me a lot closer to like my body than I wish I could get with the shot. So I think that 8 millimeter lens is probably what I'm missing to like get that full shot and take it to the next level.
Yeah. It's not cheap, but it's definitely worth it. If this is what you like to do.
So, and Live is like the only program that you use for mixed reality, right? Like, are there any others that's the only one?
Well, Oculus.
Well, I mean, Oculus has built in stuff. But
that's it, I think. Oculus MRC is okay. Obviously, it's mostly just an OBS plugin, right? I did actually work out a way to do dump mode in Oculus MRC, which was kind of the barrier, because you couldn't really use it for anything of a professional quality, because you couldn't separate out camera footage and get all the layers separately to use in post. But yeah, we have dump mode in Oculus MRC now. So anyway, that's probably a topic for...
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know what that means.
So when you're capturing mixed reality footage with your GH5, you have a Vive tracker on this thing, right? And that acts as like a camera. You can attach a camera to the Vive tracker. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. So part of my camera rig has two sections, obviously the physical camera, the GH5, and the in-game camera, which is represented with the Vive tracker. And that's just mounted on like the shoe mount on top.
Right.
So yeah.
I've always wondered, can I possibly use one of my Vive wands instead of a Vive tracker? Because I don't have a Vive tracker, but I would love to do that.
That's absolutely possible.
Maybe I can get like a 3D printed attachment or something that'll like mount it in there in a way that'll put it out of the way, and then we can move a camera around and do it like that.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool.
Let's do that.
So when you for sure.
Let's do that.
So when you go and you're like, okay, I'm going to start a new mixed reality project. Do you like storyboard the whole thing out? I mean, how similar is this to actually making a film, if you will? Because you know that the one that you did, the summer one specifically, I mean, it was like a full-blown music video with interchanging scenes between you
costumes.
And costumes. yeah. Like, so how do you plan this? I mean, is any of it improv? Do you plan it out to the max?
It depends. Certainly some videos I'm planning, not quite down to the second, but I'll have sections where I know that I want to get this particular shot, and we'll have a shot list basically that we'll work through, and sometimes that can take 2 or 3 days to actually get through that list. But, it's not always planned, because you might have an idea of what you want it to look like and then actually shoot it and it doesn't turn out. So
yeah,
generally we'll shoot whole playthroughs of the song, and only occasionally we'll focus on a particular section.
That's cool. So it seems very similar to actually making a it's a full production. It really is, which is pretty wild. You know, we were checking out and we were oohing and aahing over your Enzo video with
the dreaming one.
Yeah, the one for the Beat Saber one with the triangle. Oh my god, absolutely unbelievable.
This is like the most next level shit ever. Like, is this the most next level mixed reality video? You know, like, I mean, or at least certainly Beat Saber video. You know, can you just mod that in? Are you doing stuff in post? Like, how are you pulling off this epic environment in Beat Saber?
Well,
without giving away your secrets, of course.
I mean, it's the actual environment, obviously. So Skylar Wallace he's kind of the mastermind behind the project. He made the map. He engaged Raiden, aka Raiden, to make the environment. And they worked together to get all the lighting and all of the way that environment works. And then they brought me in to make a promotional video, basically. and I was a big fan of the original video that Lowly put out. And when it came time to make the video, I'm like, I'm recreating this original video, because if you've seen that, some of the effects, especially during the drop, was so dramatic. I
It's like it goes like monotone colors and like it's silhouetted with like the highlights of like the lights and the environments like splashed in a single monotone, like the pinks and the whites and shit. Like we're looking at it right now, you're not, but I'm looking at it and having my fucking mind blown.
Unbelievable.
They must have like they basically like just took your footage and then like ran it through and like edited the shit out of it and like put layers on and all that.
I did that in post.
That. So nice.
They delivered the environment on the map and I took it from there. So
yep. Got it. So like, is this out there? Like, or is this like Toge exclusive? Like, are you the only one that plays this?
No, that's out there, and it's been really exciting to see because so many other people have told me, you know, they've been inspired by that video and have made their own take on it, and it's been really cool to see.
Proper D
did an incredible job.
He's the man. He makes really good looking videos, dude. His stuff is awesome.
And really talented.
One of the things me and Alex were talking about before you hopped on the call is I'm watching these videos and I'm looking at the amount of technical work that goes into these videos, first of all, right? So you gotta plan all this stuff out, you gotta make your scenes, you gotta figure out what you're doing. But then on top of all that, you have to actually play this and not suck at it. Right? So you have to go through and you gotta nail this, man. You gotta crush it. Like and I don't know what skill levels that these are filmed in, but you know, I watch this stuff and I'm like, do you end up like failing a lot and having to come back and redo everything because you missed some beats, you know, some slices, or do you kind of cut a lot and take the sections that you've you've done? I just can't imagine
I'm
the pressure behind this.
It.
Yeah,
it's
just must be so
ball
much
clear
pressure
every time.
Yeah,
not true. Yeah. So I avoid showing misses or anything like that at all costs in my videos. So we go to a lot of lengths to make sure we've got at least one take of every block being hit. So it's not a full combo every pass, obviously. Sometimes you'll miss and then you get like the little X will pop up and the shot's ruined. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself like gravitating towards mixed like games that have live support and spending most of your time playing games that have live support as a result of all of this, or do you still like, is that still, you know, does that not really weigh in as much into like the decisions of like what you like to spend your time in your free time in VR?
Free time in VR.
I feel you there.
I can't remember what that's like. my schedule these days is like past midnight a lot of days working on videos, so I don't get a lot of time to play VR games just for fun. I play Synth Riders, the game you see behind me. I play it for fitness, but in terms of looking at games that I'll want to play in the future, obviously I'm obviously driven by being able to make content, and live support is just key in that. So, yeah, I definitely look for mixed reality in games that I'll play. I'm usually making content when I'm playing the game. So.
Right, and I mean it's definitely one of the first things that I check for when a game is coming out or I'm thinking about maybe making content for a game, because it's just so cool. Mm-hmm. Like it just looks so cool.
It does.
We really wanted to do Carly and the Reaper Man in Live, but then we fired it up and it was like broken. It like didn't work properly, and we were like so sad about it because I was really looking forward to that. And we like set up multiple cameras so we could like get really good shots
multiple
and stuff.
Green screens,
and then I'm just like 6 feet away and like not even close to the avatar.
Yeah.
It was too bad.
Yeah, it's a new technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, never before has anyone ever needed to try to represent what someone's seeing in a game. you always just record the game and you play pieces of the gameplay. You know what I mean? It's always been fairly straightforward. Now we're in a game. And how do you relay that? Because when you look at the social screen to VR, it's typically you're like, it's nothing like what you're really experiencing. I mean, I kind of look at it like, you know, you go out on vacation and you take video of your vacation and you come back and you want to show everybody and everyone's like, yeah, that looks kind of cool, you know, but you're right. Like, no, you had to be there. You know, it's the same thing in VR where we have to find a way to capture what it's like to be in there, to draw people into that medium, because it's an investment. You got to put shit on your face. You got to have tracking. Right. You know what I mean? It's a pain in the ass. So you really have to be able to be like, no, this is what you're seeing. And right. And you know, I haven't seen anyone do it better than this guy right here. So
right. And you know, these dope trailers are like really important when it comes to illustrating what it might be like. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like commercials made mixed reality. They made like mixed reality footage for games that weren't VR. You know, it'd be like, you're in the game, and they'd be like slow motion in there. Yeah. You know, I'm like, that's like, then we start making videos in mixed reality and it's like, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you're in the game, you know, but it's like, no, like you're actually in the game, you know. Like it's a way different thing in VR. So trailers like the stuff that you make and that you're working on now, like this Tarzan
that was pivotal with us. I had nothing to do with that. That is,
Roles. But I'm just saying that's right there. You know, like you're doing it. Whoever it is that made that Tarzan video, they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's important when it comes to mass adoption. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm curious. Like, you know, we're not there yet, but is, you know, what do you think are like some of the primary contributing factors that like are preventing mass adoption today? I mean, I guess other than like the current state of the world, you know, I guess that slowed down adoption of all things, you know, but like there's still some things that are standing in the way and like preventing people from going out and getting headsets and buying them and really just being committed to being in VR and taking it on, you know? So like, what do you think we need to get to fix it?
In terms of the tech, I think the Quest, although it's not perfect, is an incredible entry point. I think the barrier could be price for some people still. It's something I get told a lot, is definitely price. The other thing is games. I look at games that, at least before I started on this content journey, I guess, games when I had time to play them were social, you know, multiplayer competitive games like Overwatch, that sort of thing. There is currently a thing really that can reproduce that experience, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anyone can dive in.
Yeah, Thrill was just saying that.
And have fun. And there's not really anything like that for VR yet. So I would say that to me would be the main barrier. Like, what, I'm going to get this headset, what game am I going to play that matches what I currently play? And
it's just not there. Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, games like, I hear what you're saying, like Overwatch type games, right? I mean, there's a lot of categories maybe that haven't really made it into VR yet. You know, Thrill Seeker was just saying how he plays flat games every day because there isn't anything like Overwatch and, you know, that uber competitive style game. I mean, there's a lot of competitive style games, but that specific type of game, and until, you know, every type of game is represented in VR, it's going to be a little hard to get everybody.
I play flat games every day too, and it's not because I don't love VR games. It's because my friends and family don't love VR games.
Right.
They don't have headsets. They're not adopted. So if I want to continue to have my, you know, social time with these people, then I'm going to continue to play flat games, which for the record I love. Like, I like playing flat games. I am not an anti-flat gamer at all. But I would love for all of my friends to also incorporate VR into some of this and, like, jump in with the real VR fishing with me and stuff like that. Which, by the way, Toke, have you tried, I guess, and you're busy.
I'm so busy.
Real VR fishing is so awesome, man. Have you played this game ever before?
I have not, no.
I saw somebody in mixed reality in real VR fishing. Yeah. Like, a couple days
ago. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
So that must be Live integration then, right? Or is that Oculus?
I don't know. I don't know who they're supporting. You know, the developer has to support Oh, that's interesting. Mm. The developer has to support what's going on in, you know, with the mixed reality content. So Oculus has to mm-hmm. put in their, you know, their mixed reality thing in the Quest, right? Okay. It's not just everything supported. They have to build in that integration. Mm-hmm. And same with Liv, you know, they have to build it all in and work with the developers, you know, and the developers have to be willing and say, you know, well, there's only a small fraction of people that are actually going to use this. Is it worth my time?
Right.
You know, and, you know, I think it's absolutely worth the time of every developer to do this, because if people create content using something like Liv or any mixed reality tool, I mean, mm-hmm. it really just shows what, yep. you know, what in way better than any other way, what it's like to play that game.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, right.
And you can use it in conjunction with the first person perspective stuff too, you know, like, yeah. because I saw that footage, and I'll be honest, that mixed reality footage of real VR fishing was not compelling.
Yeah,
it's like an angle on the boat, he's casting way out, yeah. like you don't see anything until he gets the fish like all the way up to the boat, you know, like one I could see like cutting to a shot of you, you know, but then going back to your first person, you know, kind of flipping back mm-hmm. and forth, something like that. But really, I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned this game because I love it, and I'm not an angler, I'm not a fisherman or anything, but this is just social VR done and executed.
Yeah, and
so well.
And the social just came out the other day.
Yeah, right? Like the 6th,
so,
I think.
Yeah, let me tell you real quick about one of my favorite VR experiences that has ever happened to me, and it just happened yesterday. So I went into this game, Real VR Fishing, with the Together update, and my daughter is like, Daddy, I want to go in and catch fish. I want to go in and catch fish. And I'm like, oh, well, I got a second quest from my wife, right? So we loaded it up on there. We created a room, and then I was on a boat with my daughter teaching her how to fish while I'm in 115-degree weather in Arizona, you know, but I'm in the air conditioning, you know, and she's freaking out, Daddy, Daddy, I caught a fish, you know, and she's over there and her avatar's going, and like, it was just, and she's 6, you know what I mean? Like, that was an amazing, amazing thing for me to be able to go in there and bond with my child and teach her how to fish while I'm in the middle of the desert. Stuck in a house in air conditioning.
And it's so funny, right? Like, I got my dad in on the beta of this, and I was having him join me in on Real VR Fishing, and I was like sitting there hanging out with my dad doing this. So it's so funny because you were doing it with your daughter. Yeah. I played this game with my dad. Like, this game is like one of those titles that I think like is compelling enough to keep going into, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a really good progression system. And it's a system.
Fishing game.
I know.
Who would have
like,
thought?
Who cares about, like, I don't even care about fishing at all. But sitting next to someone and just having something active to do, and you're just like, yeah, dude, totally, yeah, yesterday, blah, 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 and doing this and that.
And they have a built-in music player, and they have a built-in YouTube video player. So I sat there and I watched Coffee in VR, Rendered Reality Boys, while I did some fishing. You know, I had the screen off right next to my boat, and I was, you know, before my daughter got home and jumped in. It's just incredible. It's incredible to just be able to hang out in there, watch some YouTube video, listen to some music, you know, whatever you want to listen to. You sign into YouTube and you get everything.
Yeah.
It's just, it's bananas. And now your friends can hop in with you and go fishing. And granted, it's just fishing, but you know.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
There you have it. There's your Real VR Fishing commercial that they didn't even ask for, but we because we love this game. Mm. So Toge might be worth taking a break and dipping into with us one of these nights.
Yeah,
sounds fun.
Are you an angler in real life? You out there catching marlins in Australia?
No. No, that's not normally my jam, but you make a compelling case. So.
Yeah.
So, like, is there like a strong VR scene in Australia? I think you're like one of the few dudes in VR that I talked to that's from Australia. Like, is there a presence there?
It's interesting. So I'm from Brisbane in Australia, and we seem to have this little bubble here of you know, creators, which is awesome for me because I can tap into, you know, their talent when I need to. So yeah, I know a lot of local people with headsets that are either streaming on Twitch or YouTube or whatever. So yeah, there's a reasonable community here, I would say.
That's cool. Harry and I are the only two VR users in Arizona.
That's it. I started a subreddit, VR and AZ, you know, to get, because I was imagining that with the Quest, there was going to be a lot more games that come out, kind of like Space Pirate Arena. Now, the game's not out, but I don't know if you've seen footage where you go into a warehouse, it puts up virtual walls, you know, and you're running around and you're actually shooting at your friends, and then, yeah, you can hop out and, like, you know, talk smack to each other or whatever. Super fun, right? So I thought this was going to become a huge, huge thing, and I thought one of the ways, you know, I'd be able to start getting groups of people together would be to kind of get everyone together maybe on Reddit, you know? And then the first time we did an event to go out and do something multiplayer, Alex is the only one that showed up.
Well, that's it. All right.
Here we are.
And here we are today.
Oh, really?
That's how this whole thing, thing started with us in Between Realities.
Cool.
Yeah, it was crazy. but yeah, that's why we're the only VR fans in Arizona.
Yeah, and that's not true. We are exaggerating. I've definitely met a few others since then.
We're the biggest ones, though.
But we're definitely the biggest VR people in the state. Yeah. So are you the biggest Aussie VR fan down there? Or you got some competition? That's what I want to know.
I wouldn't claim to be a huge fan of anything in particular, but there's a lot of really passionate people, especially around here in Brisbane. So. Mm-hmm. And developers as well. So you'd be surprised about some of the games that have come out of Australia. Like Richie's Plank Experience is from Brisbane.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Nice.
Wow, that's a very influential title.
It is. Mm. I've seen more people hurt themselves in that game than anything else. Whenever you see a video of someone doing something really dumb on the internet in VR,
jumping off.
It's always Richie's playing, which is weird to me, right? Because never in my life have I thought, oh yeah, if I really felt like I was standing on a plank hanging off a 50-story building, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and swan dive off of it. Like, it doesn't make sense in any.
You know, I admire the lack of fear, at least. You know, like, the guy was down. He was like,
One guy, yeah. There's a lot of people that do the same exact thing. They dive off of the thing, and it's like, it doesn't mean, if you're that immersed.
There's a lot of people who get pushed off of that thing.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Fuck those people.
That's messed up. You never, ever mess with someone that's in VR and shove them, do anything. It's a terrible thing to do.
Don't really even get close. You're going to get smacked in the face.
And they should. I hope that guy will get his karma back. I'm sure that dude had something happen to
him. Whenever I'm like with friends or family and I put the headset on, I'm always like, yo, if you get struck, it's your fault. Like, you got to understand, you must stay away from this area. Like, this is a danger zone.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is too, I tell, like, if I'm going to, when I was playing Resident Evil 7, for example, very, 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 very scary. And I told everyone in my house, I'm like, look, man, if you come home and I'm playing VR, it's probably this game. And if you just come up and like push me or something, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run, I'm going to swing. I have no idea because it's scary. And you just can't jump in and mess with someone in that state. Mm-hmm. It's not funny. Mm-hmm. You know, but people do it all the time. Anyway, sorry, enough lecturing. Don't do that.
So you spend a lot of, or in all the videos I've seen, I'm pretty sure other than the Quest, you have the Vive Pro. Have you ever been on a PSVR? Do you own PSVR or any other VR headsets, Toge?
My first VR headset was a DK2 back in 2015, and that changed my life, I guess. Then I had both the Vive and the Rift CV1. I found myself more drawn to the Vive, I think, because of Lighthouse. It was just a bit more powerful, especially early on, because the Rift didn't even have, you know, touch controllers or anything like that. I had a Vive, I had a Rift CV1. I sold the Rift CV1 because I just never used it. And then went to the Vive Pro, wireless, never looked back. Cool. I have tried PSVR. It is extremely uncomfortable for me because I have a 72 millimeter IPD.
Okay. So, you must have issues. What about the Rift S? Do you have problems with the Rift S? Have you tried that?
One of the worst headsets I've used in my life.
Wow.
Because of the IPD.
The Halo design didn't work for my head at all. Just the headset was just like.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Unusable.
Yeah. So I have a small IPD. I'm at a 59. And I have issues, you know, with the Rift S and, you know, a little bit with the Go, not so much. The Go had a nice big sweet spot in those lenses, but still, you know, the PSVR, if I play on that for too long, I'm definitely getting headaches and eye strain. I'm not, my eyes aren't quite right for the next day. And it's too bad, you know, I feel like they got to solve that problem. They have to solve the IPD problem. You know, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they got to do it.
Not on this headset.
Right. Well, you know, coming up, these next-gen headsets, they got to figure that out. Because when there's such a small market of people buying this stuff, you can't cut half of them out, you know, or give them all a really bad experience. Because, you know, like, they're just going to think all VR, they're going to get eye strain and headaches. And so, you know, it's very, very important.
Toki, what are your thoughts on the Oculus Quest 2 or the Oculus Quest Lite or the Oculus Quest Pro?
Whatever
it is. What do you call it?
Whatever it is. I am holding my opinion because we don't know the details. But if we make some assumptions about maybe not having IPD adjustment, that would be a massive mistake. But if indeed it does, like there's some potential that those lenses might move in some way.
Yeah, there's like a little tab in there with like a number on it.
Hey, it looks.
I could see
if that works. You know? Great. I'm in. The head strap looks cheap and nasty.
Looks like the same one as the Go, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's great at first until you wear it a bunch, and then it gets all stretched out and messed up.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
What about that HP Reverb, that G2? Mm. You eyeballing that thing?
Not for myself, but it does.
No.
If anyone asks me what headset to buy right now, I'm saying, well, there's this G2 thing just around the corner, which, if you don't want to be bothered with Lighthouse, is going to be the way to go. I think the price point is pretty good for what you're getting. So,
yeah. Tyrael Wood did his Through the Lenses video of it, and it looks great compared to the Index and...
Yeah. MRTV did a bunch of it too, and everything looked fantastic, you know. So I think they're going to hit a home run with this one, with the price point, with the resolution, you know.
Right.
Like I said on previous shows, you know, it's going to take a beast of a machine to run two 4K displays in each eye at 90 hertz all the time. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, you know.
Like people don't remember that, and by people I mean me. Like I don't remember that. Like I forget that. Getting a better headset means you need a better computer.
Yeah, and a better video card. Yeah, maybe, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, right? You got to drive the frame rate. The frame rate is just as important to me as the resolution. And that's why I'm not switching my Index for one of these.
Right.
You know, the Index runs up to 144 hertz, which is buttery smooth, and it brings realism to, you know, in a different way, right? 4K resolution is going to bring this kind of realism that you won't get on an Index, but the Index is going to bring that smoothness of motion that you're not going to get on the Reverb. So, you know, there's pros and cons to all this stuff.
Right.
I'm really interested to see this. I have a friend, I don't know, maybe he'll be watching this, Geek, and he has pre-ordered it and has mentioned that he wants to come drop it off at some point so we can have time to play with it for the show.
That is a great idea. Thank you, Geek. We're looking forward to that.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, this is a cool looking headset. I'm pretty excited.
So I use a Vive Pro and I don't think it's a large enough upgrade to justify that kind of purchase, especially with my budget. And also, I, again, thanks to Tyrael Wood, took his advice and did the Gear VR lens modification on my Vive Pro. Have you done that to your headset or considered it?
I have considered it. I've been a little turned off by some mixed reports. And I think because I'm kind of on the periphery in terms of IPD, I may be at more risk of not getting a good result.
It is possible.
Yeah, that's right.
There are pros and cons to it, for sure. Like for me, it wasn't just like in a pure upgrade. I will say that clarity and quality of the image, night and day. Like it looks great. Mm. Like no questions asked. Huge visual upgrade in the clarity and in the color. slight loss of FOV. Kind of hurt a little bit, but you know, I can live with that.
Picture looks better than my index.
It really does. Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, they're mm-hmm. both expensive headsets, so mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I and basically everyone has to do some kind of soft modification to do a barrel distortion of the image to prevent you from getting uncomfortable, because the way it's displaying it is not designed for those lenses, so you right. need to do yeah. something to bend the alter edges. It. Right, yeah. And there was some longer play sessions where I was doing a lot of movement and doing a lot of like visualizing depth and like refocusing and stuff like that, that I definitely was felt uncomfortable. Playing No Man's Sky, I had to rip my headset off. We were flying around and I was like, oh, dude, I can't do this. Like, yeah. I gotta go. Like,
yeah.
And I think yeah. it's because of the lens mod, you know, because of just like this slight distortion and staying a long time in there and flipping around a lot in the in the headset, but I don't regret it, I guess is I'm going to digress and say that I don't regret it, and I'm glad I did it.
Can I flip this for a minute? I have a question I just thought of. I really want to get an answer about the Quest, actually. And you've done mixed reality content on the Quest, yep. yeah? And I'm guessing so that entails a green screen and stuff. I have the hardest time with inside out tracking, knowing where it is when I'm surrounded by a green screen. Is that something that was a challenge to you? Because, you know, you look around, the inside out tracking solution is looking for lines, it's looking for things to grab onto to understand your play space.
Right.
And that was one of the questions I had, you know, when I watched some of this stuff and I saw you with the Quest, I'm like, wow, you know, that's even more impressive. Mm-hmm. People don't really get that there can be severe tracking issues with green screens yep. and inside out yep. tracking. Is that something you had to deal with, and how'd you get around it, I guess?
So in my space, I've not had to make changes. I think because there's parts of my wall, even though it's green, can't see it right now, but there's tape on a few things. So there's like the space that I converted has like a PowerPoint on the wall. It's got some green tape on it. It's got the lighthouse in this corner. It's got some tape over here, some other tape over here. And that's the trick to getting it to work. If you do have tracking problems on a green screen, is just to get some matte green, like proper chroma green gaff tape, and put little X's on the wall. Just put a few around, and that should give it something to track against. So, yeah.
Nice.
Damn, you know, that's good advice, just like in any environment. You know, maybe you're in like your bedroom and all these white walls.
You know,
and
sure.
You're just drowning your Quest in white, or like there's this ton of sunlight coming into the room and it's blasting the walls with a bunch of light. And maybe having, I mean, I'm not sure everyone should go home and put X's and black duct tape on their walls, but, you know, that the X's is a great idea.
And it's not just the Quest, right? It's the Rift S. It's any Windows mixed reality headset. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of inside out tracking headsets right now, and inside out tracking is really good, and it's coming amazing. It's come so far in the time it's been around. I mean, you know, I pre-ordered one of the first Windows MR headsets. So I remember the very beginning days of inside-out tracking. It wasn't super, super fun. But man, has Oculus in particular nailed it. They have nailed it better than anyone else. You know, with the occlusion adjustments, you know, putting one controller in front of the other and having it not lose tracking. Things like that, right? You pull your controllers too close to your face, then it can't judge the tracking properly. Mm-hmm. Oculus just nailed it out of the park with some of the updates that they came out with, so you can actually play competitively with, you know, with some competitive shooters that you know, you need to aim down the sights and really use those iron sights. So yeah, they did a great job. But that's an interesting that's good. That's at least for me. Thank you, because I, you know, now I'll have something to do to solve my tracking issues. But no, that's great information for anyone out there that may have inside out tracking problems.
So at least one other thing that I want to get to here is I think Zim Talk on Twitter shared somebody else's, I saw Zim post it, but he shared somebody else's link to these mechanized boots that are designed for locomotion in virtual reality. And I don't know, did you see the link?
I have not seen it yet. You know what I'm talking about? I saw a screenshot. So
they look like moon boots, dude. Like moon boots, like with robotic, like turning stuff in them going on.
I'm going to pull up some video here. I want to get to the right part of the video before I display it. But so these things don't move like roller skates, right? There's a program that has to push these things in the direction that you're moving. And I can't figure out for the life of me how exactly this is going to work, right? Because so you can see this kid on the screen, Toge, you cannot, but the audience here can, where this guy is stepping on these two things and he has these two giant roller skates on, right? And for our audio listeners as well, these two giant roller skate things, but these skates are actually communicating with the computer and they're being told where to go. So as this dude picks up his feet and moves them, they roll forward as well, and it's fluid motion.
Oh, and here's the thing, like the he's able to bend his knee and like pick his up his knee and set his foot down, like there's like a suspension that his feet are in to where like when he lifts it up, like there's like a lift and he can set it down. So he really is emulating kind of the motion of walking in a way that I haven't seen yet in a locomotion solution.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that.
Super interesting.
You know, but like, you know, since we have Toge on the show, like my mind immediately goes to just like maybe painting these bad boys green and like using them like in footage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like maybe it's not like practical to like game with, but what if I put them on while I was making a video?
Oh, mixed reality stuff in them, would be, you know, killer.
Like, That could be a possible application of this.
Yeah, you get that real motion. Mm-hmm. That would be an absolutely amazing way to use this. You know, I look at this and I think to myself, this has a very long way to come. You know what I mean? Every game, who's going to code this into their games? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is absolutely bananas. But, you know, in the future, it might be so easy that there's an AI plugin, you throw it in and it all just works. Who knows? But for mixed reality, to be able to actually look like you're walking and moving within the environment, if you could sync that up with Liv, that would be absolutely incredible.
Absolutely.
But
because not everybody has a large space, you know.
Yeah.
Like there's another trailer that just came out recently that pyramid treasure finder escape room game. I wish I could remember the name.
Temple. Yeah.
And that game like utilizes a place like a small play space where you like walk a little bit back and forth.
Yeah. Oh,
you
know, okay.
Which, incredible
game. Kind of good and like
100% check it out.
Fixes that problem.
Oh, cool.
I would love to. And it's live enabled, which is why I bring it up because Buck is in that trailer too. But now in this one, his feet are actually moving when he's moving, and it looks legit.
Yeah.
Like, have you tried to capture anything and had problems with locomotion or all the games that you typically capture like? Kind of standing in one spot.
So Pistol Whip is the first one that comes to mind. That game is obviously has just a constant motion. Everything's running past you. The moment that the camera looks at the feet, the immersion breaks. It's like suddenly you go from, the guy's running through the hallway shooting all these guys to, why the hell is he sliding? Like, what's going on?
Right.
So you'll notice in my videos, I avoid showing feet for that exact reason. I mean, you can do like roller skates. I think it was Hannah Byrne. I think she did one on roller skates. God, I hope it was her now.
Yeah, I've seen roller skates. I saw someone did one that was they were on an exercise bike. That cracked me up, man. They're pedaling through this thing and they're shooting everybody. Oh my god, it was really, really funny.
Yeah.
And there was that one recent one that was like Matrix themed.
Jump. Yes. My god.
Yeah, that was so good.
Oh, damn good.
How do you do that?
I think it's with advanced settings. I think it's through that. So you can change the player
height in real time.
Yeah. Similar to how I'm rotating the play space behind me at the moment.
Interesting.
Cool.
See, but you don't really do much of that in your filming, right? Like, because you have the vibe tracker, like you're basically connected to the camera the whole time. Do you do the spinning?
Well, that's the big secret, isn't it? That most of my shots are a combination of artificially moving the play space as well as moving camera. So
do you think that like the moving, like should I like, is it like imperative in your opinion that like the camera moves in this footage? Like, is it like boring to just like put a mixed reality like on like somebody shredding Beat Saber and not rotate that thing, you know? Like, should we all be making efforts to spin our play spaces if we're in mixed reality, in your opinion?
No. It depends, I guess. It depends what you're going for. I'm personally not a fan of the... So you can do the thing where, like, the play space just sort of swings side to side.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I use that effect a lot, but I try to hide it in terms of, like, the camera... moving. I think the static mm-hmm. shot where it just shows that going backwards and forwards, in my opinion, it's not that interesting.
I kind of agree with you, which is why I asked, because like I didn't think it would be worth it to like sit there and like go back and forth at a 90 degree angle mm-hmm. shredding, you know, when like it might just be as immersive or as entertaining to just not have to do that.
I think static is better than just the swing. So personally, my opinion,
I think static would be better if you are not someone with the skills of this guy, because you know obviously you watch his videos and there's no contest, you know what I mean, from standard normal static mixed reality content. I feel like and there's a difference, right, between that artificial, you know something is moving it back and forth, and then some of the motion that you get, Toge, that's so fluid and natural, and just the camera movements, they're just insane. I often wondered when watching some of your videos too, did you set up any kind of like a track system for your camera? Mm-hmm. I almost imagine when they shoot movies, sometimes they have the tracks to get those nice smooth shots in the directions
like a dolly or something. No, so I do have a stabilization rig, which is pretty good. That's kind of my next upgrade is to improve that. It's all handheld.
Wow! And your wife's getting all this stuff.
Amazing. She's
right. She's doing most of the camera. Nice. Very cool.
I love it. I had to go out and find some lug to film me at events and stuff like that. My wife's not signing up for that. My future wife, fiance.
I would.
I'll ask. So if you could like wave a magic wand and give like any VR application live support and start like making content with it, which game would it be?
Oh God. That's a really great question. So the types of games I love are generally music based. Rhythm games, and most of them already have live support. I think for a lot of people, I'm not really speaking for myself here, but I know a lot of people want to see Alex.
I didn't even consider that either. That would be incredible.
Alex,
that would be incredible.
For the fact that it's Source 2, if we can get live in Source 2, the future is looking pretty damn good.
That would be sick.
I like your answer.
Also,
that's a good answer.
Squadrons.
That's a good answer. Ooh, Star Wars Squadrons.
Also Squadrons.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. That would be freaking cool, right? To put yourself in the cockpit of a Star Wars fighter. Yeah. That'd be sick. Very sick. Yeah. Well, cool, man. That's some good stuff.
Yep. So I guess we're pretty much we're kind of there.
Yeah.
We're wrapping up. We will give something away, because we always try to give something away every episode, and we're not live, so there was no chat really. Oh, actually, I could have dropped something into the chat by now watching this, right? Could have dropped a code in there, even if I
didn't. Yeah, because we'll be dropping stuff in as it's
right. Right. Well, and if you didn't see the premiere, leave a comment below, and we'll choose somebody from the comments to give a game code away to as well.
Yep. Just say that you want to enter the game giveaway, and then we will grab all the people that do that, and we'll pick a winner. Mm-hmm. So give you some games, some that stuff to play. Good.
If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel. Please like this video. In the description, we will have links to Toge's channel and social media. Please follow him and watch him. If you know what if you know what's good for you, you will keep a close eye on Toge, because this dude is making moves in all of this mixed reality stuff. And it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you here with us, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
thank you. Awesome.
Absolutely. Well, what do you want to do? You want to roll up the screen?
Yeah, I screwed it up earlier. It didn't roll down. So I guess I might as well roll it up.
All right. Bye, Toge.
All right. Bye, Toge. We will see you later, brother. Thank you so much for everything yet again. Adios.
Goodbye. And thank you again to the chat for being here during the premiere. I'm assuming that somebody's here watching with us. So thank you guys for being here. And yep. Tune in on Friday at 12 Pacific yes. for our episode with Rowdy Guy from the F Reality Podcast. Super stoked to have him. Enjoy your day/night, everyone. Take care. We will see you next time.
Adios.